Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 117, Everything Depends on It. That's our title for this episode. Howdy everybody, Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Portal Gaming Podcast is also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, and I am your host, The Brant. And this is episode 117, kind of take two. If you will, we're going backwards. I posted a 118. 117 was a crazy nightmare, and my voice was shot, and I'm almost back. My singing isn't quite there. I tend to sing rather regularly, and my full register isn't quite back all the way, but my talking is, so that is good. So I'm going to go back and fill in the gap here for episode 117. Going to try to throw a lot at you coming up soon. I've got to do an episode with Kathy, got to do an episode with Brian, maybe get an episode with Larry in there. Mason wants to be on the podcast again, totally want to have him on. So lots of various hosts and guests and things coming up, and I hope to possibly put, two episodes out a week maybe to catch up for a little bit of hiatus, because it's been super annoying, because I love doing the podcast. And doing all this. And I'm going to do a lot of reviews. Because I've been playing a lot of stuff and not reviewing it. So I hope you like reviews. I do. It's my favorite part of listening to podcasts. And my favorite part of this podcast is reviewing the games. Because that's why I'm playing lots of new games. So I could give my opinion and hope people take it to heart in their decision making. And it helps them and whatnot. So... all that. Went to ConCon, going to have an episode on ConCon coming out. Having a few technical difficulties there. It's a little bit of a shorter episode, probably in the 25-30 minute range, but I thought it's still good to have, because it was really just what I recorded for my thoughts there, and you'll hear my voice still a little bit dead in that episode, so I'll put that one out. This episode is going to include some Gamma coverage from Larry and Brian, and if they have more to say, because I didn't say a ton, but if they do have more, I will include that on an upcoming episode as well with them on it. So there's that. Yeah, so I got a bunch of games I'm going to review for you today. Want to put out there that International Tabletop Day is June 1st this year. So that's much later than the last Saturday in April that it normally is. So we'll talk more about that as it's approaching, but want to throw that out to you. I think there's a big Magic release on the day of, and it's not even us that changed Tabletop Day, it's them. But we figured, let's just play to whatever day they say, even though it's not quite the same with promos and things, but it's still a great day in terms of 24 hours of gaming. So, and that works well for me. That's much closer to the school year, so that's nice there. Yeah, I'm going to review a bunch of games, but I got a lot of stuff in the pipe, too, that I want to review. I've got a copy of Kingdom Rush from Lucky Duck Games here that I want to play more and get reviewed for you. This is coming up on Kickstarter. I've got Nerd Words that's coming on Kickstarter from Genius Games. So suddenly I'm like a Kickstarter person reviewing things, but I don't mind. Both these companies I really appreciate, and they're really nice to me. So want to do that. I know, speaking of Kickstarter, I know the store, the Portal, has backed the Age of Steam Kickstarter. We backed the Root Kickstarter, and a whole bunch of others. Reavers of Midgard, Tidal Blades. These are kind of the heavy hitters that I can think of. There are others. And so that's been really exciting. So I can't wait to see those come in and get copies of those and get those played in terms of that. But I got games to review with Kathy. So Kathy's episode is going to be Villainous, Wicked to the Core, the Dice Rebellion expansion. I'll give you my spoiler. This is the expansion of the year. And this is one of my top expansions that saves a game. Because I really like Dice Forge, but I can see kind of the shortness of the game, and this does a really good job. So we'll review that. Haven from Red Raven Games. Been playing Concordia. Played Concordia. Then Concordia Venus. Played Concordia Salsa. So those have all been really fun. I guess Venus is the newest one there. What else are we going to review? Played Fine Sand, plays Res Arcana, Warsaw. What is that? Capital City? Warsaw? I don't remember what it's called. Was called Capital. Yeah, and then Brian and I need to review a whole bunch of games as well. So that's all stuff that's coming up. It's all in the pipe. I've played it. Did I review Forum Trajanum? I can't remember. So that might have to happen too. Gonshern Clever, Pandoria, Railroad Rivals, Welcome to Centerville. Wow. So many things. Bushido. Tiny Town, Sprawlopolis. Look at those. Crusaders. There's so many good games that to review. Those are not the ones I'm doing this episode, but just a little teaser for you for episodes coming up. So, it's good to talk to all of you again. So I think I'm just babbling because it's just good to talk. Yeah, I think that's it for events. I will be at the Silk City Board Game Group on April 13th. And what am I going to be teaching there? Quacks of Quedlinburg. That's a great game. So I always like to teach games that I think are great because, hey, I only teach maybe once every other month at best and might as well teach a great game when I'm there. So there's that. I was happy to have a little shout out from Eric Summer on Dice Tower Podcast because, yes, I love Fleet the Dice game and I'm super excited about it. And I'm always super excited about games. I think Tom caught me there. He said, I've never known Brant to not be excited. So it's true. I love games. I want people to play games. I want all sorts of people to play games. I love heavy games. I love light games. I love kids games. I love medium games. I love people loving games and people being in my house or at my store or at my church or at their house or at their store or a restaurant playing games and just being happy. And now I think I'm being a little annoying. Let's jump into some reviews. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Whew, let's hope I can get through all these for you. And then we'll have some Gamma coverage from Brian and Larry to finish up the episode. All right, starting off with Cerebria, The Inside World. This is from Mind Clash Games. This is their newest big Kickstarter box that came out and got a chance to play this twice. So what's going on? This thematically is a really interesting game. It is a clash of emotions. So you've got kind of your negative emotions and your positive emotions, and they're having a big clash. At the end of the day, it's really a big abstract game, and I don't know that I can go into the details of this game because even explaining it's kind of crazy, but essentially, it's an action selection game. So you're going to get so many actions on a turn, and you get to pick. Now, I have played this game with all the advanced features because I feel like that's the best way. So that means everybody has a player board. Their player board has various asymmetric actions. So, for example, normally I can take an action to move, and I have to pay for that, and normally you'd just be able to pay to move an extra space, but some of the boards, the player boards, have don't pay to move that extra space, and others say you could pay to move two spaces, or you could pay extra to move bonus spaces, in terms of that. So what are you ultimately trying to do? Score points, and you're building this tower in the center, and you're trying to get your pieces into the tower. So you can get those during a scoring phase, or you can get those by putting them out on the board, and then during a scoring phase, they'll move in. So I guess it's really those scoring phases where all that happens. Apologies, it's been a little bit since I played the game, and I don't have it anymore, so a little bit of the terminology, which I try to be good with, I'm not going to be as good with this game. But essentially, you're taking actions. You can play cards. There's area control mechanism. There's like five different regions that you're trying to control. And then there's the space in between those regions, which are realms, and I don't remember the other name, so I apologize. But you're putting your cards out, which are emotions, and the emotions have powers. So there's just a lot to this game. The other big feature is you can draw in energy. So there's this like spinning wheel in the center with all these little crystals, kind of like the crystals from Ascension. And you can pull those crystals in and spend those. That's your willpower. And you can spend those to do things. And if you pull them in and you empty a region, that's going to trigger a scoring phase. And then everybody's got a secret goal they're trying to do, and there's a common goal. And they're always like majority. Have a majority of this, a majority of that. So you're playing against people. Now, this can be played with four and two teams, or it can be played with two. There was also an expansion for like a neutral power that's trying to keep everything balanced, and that could be played as well. So that gives you 2, 3, 4, and 6, I believe, are how you can play this game. But I played it all at 2, and I don't know that I'd want to play it with more than that. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's really this action selection, move around, and this abstract get your pieces on the board in the right place and pull the levers at the right time. Really, really interesting. Kath and I played the first time with a wrong rule. We weren't able to do the realm actions unless we were standing there. But I played a second time with Larry, and he skunked me. It was a beatdown. But it was a really neat game. I really enjoyed it, and there's so much variability with all the player boards that can flip to both sides and decks of cards that swap out. You can eventually build decks with what emotions you want to have. The emotions can upgrade, which is a really neat thing. So there's a lot there to unpack, which I could see happening. Admittedly, as much as two-player gaming happens in my house, it tends to be move to the next game, move to the next game. But I would say the biggest things that are difficult here is I think the game can be one-sided, and there's also just a lot. It could just really overwhelm somebody, and I felt like I was never really doing the optimal move. I was just doing a move because I wanted the game to keep going. So it was a really good move. It wasn't like I was unwilling to think, but optimizing just felt like an AP nightmare, and I'm not usually willing to AP. I just kind of play and see how it goes. In terms of that, which one game it went okay because I think I won, but the second game not so well. But all in all, really great game, great production. I played the Kickstarter version, so it had minis and upgraded components and all sorts of things. So I don't know exactly what's there otherwise, but if you want a two-player heavy action selection game with really a neat theme. Is the theme pasted on? No. But was the game still abstract? Yes. So I really appreciate the theme, and the artwork is unbelievable. So that's something you're looking for, but I don't feel like I would play the game with four. Now, I know a lot of people that did play with four and enjoyed it, so I'll leave that up to you, and I have not played it at that count, but there was that. All right, from one big game to another, Space Corps. So I got to play Space Corps. GMT was nice enough to send us a whole box of games, so I'm going to review my way through those. So Space Corps is a game which takes place over three eras. So at first, you are traveling to the moon and to Mars, and then you are traveling basically our galaxy, and then you're traveling between galaxies. So you are corporations. You're trying to maximize your victory points, which are trillions of dollars of profit. So you are corporations trying to make money from doing this. And it's basically a card game. So you're drawing these cards and you're playing these cards out. Either you just straight play the cards or you play them to your infrastructure. And your infrastructure, you play it there, takes an action, and then later you can add your infrastructure to your hand of cards. So if I'm trying to explore a region, I can play the cards from my hand and discard them and add the explore value from my tableau or my infrastructure to that. And so it really becomes kind of that run your engine well and be highly efficient in what you're trying to do. So you're trying to move around the galaxy. You're trying to explore regions to find things. You can find alien life. You can find sites, like special sites. You can find ore that you can use to build and gain money off of, and just spots where you can just gain profit, and all sorts of things from exploring. And then you want to build. You want to build spaceports that have various abilities. What's interesting about the game is, like I said, it plays in three eras, so it kind of has that brass feel, where you play an era, wipe the board, play the next era, wipe the board, play the third era, game's over. It's a pretty long game. It took us about 3.5 hours with four players and the teach. Could that be whittled down? Yeah, classically, as everybody says, but I don't think it's going to come down too much in terms of that. So I think it's a 3-hour game, but it was great. It's very Euro. It's simple once you kind of get it down, and there's a lot of point scoring. The third phase, the third era, really takes a turn, and it's really about point scoring and putting out these colonies in places and getting all these bonuses. But there's a lot of things going on. The card play is very simple. All these cards just have one or two abilities, and the numbers are pretty low, but you start to get to higher values and whatnot. There's pretty good player interaction that's happening with drafting cards from the center and playing things on other people. And there's like special abilities, they're called edge cards, that you could just play to kind of interact with the other players, so that's well thought out. it's kind of sprawling with all these different ages. And then eventually, when you get to the second era, you have these like upgrade cards that you can purchase and permanently upgrade like your infrastructure that doesn't change. Also, a main part of the game is these... they're goals. I can't remember exactly what I would call them, but they're goals that the first person to achieve this gets like extra profit. So they give you things to go after, which I think is great. Really interesting. I know some people, Heavy Cardboard specifically, was saying that they didn't really like the third era. I was fine with it. I understood what they were saying. The first era is the one that felt a little funny to me. Like, you're kind of building this infrastructure, but there's ways to play the game, almost like the colonists. You can play it with just eras 2 and 3, and you start with a little bonus, or you can start with era 3. So I would think of trying that again. So I've played this solo twice and with four players once. It was really fun. And I've heard that they're going to make more for Space Corps. So I really enjoyed the game. Obviously, take it as it is. It's going to be a three-hour game with generally simple mechanisms but good decisions. So that's Space Corps by GMT. Next is Raccoon Tycoon. This is from Forbidden Games. So Raccoon Tycoon is, I guess, an auction game, but it's also like a resource management market game. So really quite straightforward. On your turn, you can do an action. And so you could pull a tile to gain resources, or you could sell resources. There's like six different resources in the game with luxury items and bricks and straw and iron and coal, like those kind of things, wood. So you could either gain resources, sell your resources to get money. And as you gain resources, their values go up, and as you sell them, their values go down. They don't adjust quite as much as I thought, so this is a little bit closer to the Clans of Caledonia. Like, they're definitely going up and down. It's a little bit more than that. But once things were up, they generally stayed further up, and they didn't drop to the bottom, which I would have liked to see a little bit more dynamic there. Other options are to purchase a town, or to purchase a railroad, or to purchase a building tile. So building tiles are going to give you in-game functions to kind of break the rules. Towns charters are going to give you just bonus points in the game, and then you can match every town up with a railroad to get additional points, so you can kind of balance that way. And then the railroads are the ones you auction off, and you're doing like a set collection. Like, there's four of a type, and if you get the most, you get more victory points. So it's all a victory point game, and money is like secondary to that. You're using money to get there. I really enjoyed it. It's pretty close to a gateway. I mean, there's enough decisions with the five different things, and auction can always scare people off. But basically, you're just trying to amass a bunch of money, so then when you auction, you can buy the things you're looking for and have the highest amount of money. So the auctions get kind of crazy, because it's like, oh, I'm going to start this bid at 5, and it ends up at 45. But it's because you're basically just spending your money on that. The only other, you know, there's only a few other things to spend on. Really just those tiles. So I really enjoyed it. The game looks great. It's pretty simple in mechanism. It just keeps going. It did seem a little long. Like, it feels like a game that's going to be 30 to 45 minutes, and it's probably an hour to an hour 15, and I'm not sure how it would play. I think it plays up to 6. I played 3. But I really, really liked it. So Railroad Rivals was the other one that came out from Forbidden Games, or another one that came out. A little bit of a spoiler, because I'll review that, I think, in the future. Maybe not, but I wasn't as big of a fan of Railroad Rivals. That felt really basic. I know they have some like little advanced modes in the box, and they released another expansion, so I would definitely try it with all that, because it was not boring, but it just wasn't as engaging as Railroad Tycoon. Raccoon Tycoon. So comparing those two, I liked this one a lot better. So that's Raccoon Tycoon. I would actually pick up a copy of this. This would be great to have. And I think it will work pretty well with 6, because it's fast moving. Oh, I'm going to grab that tile. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, pause. We're going to auction. Keep going. So that was neat. All right, kind of continuing on with that vein of gateway-style games. Trekking the National Parks has a second edition that just came out. Talked to the guys publishing this at New York Toy Fair, and they were nice enough to send a copy over to us so I could play and review it. So Trekking the National Parks is a very light family card game. So you're drafting cards kind of a la Ticket to Ride, and then the cards have symbols and numbers. What's interesting is the numbers are in the center of the symbol, but they're actually independent of each other. So you're using symbols to be able to camp out at national parks. There's a few, you've got a map of the United States, and you've got a few cards that are out. and those are the places you're trying to camp. So basically the first person who goes and camps there by discarding the symbols from their hand of that type will get that card as a set collection. And in addition, there are some national parks that are out every game, which will give you a special ability that everybody can camp at. So the closest one to us is Acadia National Park, which is in Maine, and that one would allow you to like move extra distance on a turn or something like that, so you could move a little bit further. You can also discard cards for the number on them and then move that number of spaces. You have to move exactly that number of spaces, and you can't move through other players. You can land on a player, and there's a sorry mechanism which sends them home, and in this game, home is defined to be St. Louis, Missouri. So some of the theme was a little bit weird, like, why am I sending people home when there's two people in a park? And why do I get to camp there first and I get points? Like, don't we want lots of people to camp at national parks? But, I mean, every time you're playing a game, you're taking a little stretch. And I think the theme of national parks and the pictures and a little blurb about all of them and just the joy of going there, I think it's enough to make that theme strong. And then they put these mechanisms in just to add to the game play. So you just kind of keep doing that, and then there's a few, like, endgame scorings. The parks all have, like, a color they're associated with, and whoever gets the most color, of each color gets, like, bonus points, and there's secondary points, so that kind of makes that little piece. And you're just drafting cards or playing cards every turn, just like Ticket to Ride and moving around the board. It's really light. It's lighter than Ticket to Ride, because you're not even really trying to, you're kind of competing, but it's very temporary. Oh, that person's there now, they're going to be able to do this. And whatnot. But I think this game is great. I think in the Time Machine, which is kind of our sister store that sells toy and hobby, I think the game will do really well. I think people are really into national parks. I would imagine this in a national park gift shop would be awesome. Because when people walk into gift shops like that, they're already knowing they're going to drop $20-$25 on whatever, right? Space astronaut ice cream or whatever. So a $50 game wouldn't be so crazy to then remember the parks that you've been to. So I think it's a really neat idea. I think it's nice that it's a gateway game. With gamers, I don't think gamers are really going to be into it. But if your family or you've got a family member or a friend who's hiked national parks, I think this would really engage them. So it's kind of theme first, even though it plays, like a Euro in terms of that. But yeah, that was fun. Next up, got a couple plays of Herbaceous Sprouts. I have played this at 2, 3, and 3. Have I played it at 4? I played it solo. 1, 2, 3, and 3. So Herbaceous Sprouts is kind of a follow-up to Herbaceous from Dr. Steve Finn and Pencil First Games. And Herbaceous Sprouts, Herbaceous was like a card drafting kind of game from the center of the table. Herbaceous Sprouts is like a dice version. It's not a roll and write, but a dice version. So basically there's cards that are going to come out and there's dice that are put on them. And you're drafting those cards, which are going to give you a tool for your garden. And the dice give you the different herbs that you're going to want to grow in the garden. And the garden is a board in the center of the table. So on your turn, you draft a card, you collect the dice, and then you can use the dice in various sets. Herbs of the same kind, herbs of a different kind, pairs of herbs of the same kind. And then there are also flowers that you can plant with the trowel. The drafting is great. I love drafting. That's fun. The dice are neat. There's a reroll mechanism with some of the tools. There are like potted plants you can get to hold extra things because you can only hold 7 dice in your wheelbarrow. And you play like 8, 9, 10 rounds, and you're just trying to plant those herbs first. Like, first to have 5 of a kind gets 9 points. Second to have 5 of a kind gets 7 points. Then if you plant in all 4 locations in the garden, you get a bonus 2 points, which is a little glass of lemonade. You get to put your feet up and rest a little bit because your garden is coming along well. It's a great game. I really like it. It's really fun. Probably gateway style. A little cutthroat on the timing of all that. And I feel like as a, kind of everyday gamer, literally, I understand a little bit more of like the numbers that are going to that. You have a better sense of like drafting and what somebody else going to take and should I get there first and what's the value of this. But the game is beautiful. I believe the art is Beth Sobel. I apologize if I'm wrong on that, but she does pretty much all the art for Pencil First. And this is really nice too. In terms of that. So I've really had fun. I've kind of been the one suggesting bringing it out a lot with people. So That's been really neat. And the solo mode is cool, too. You're just trying to score more points than, like, an enemy who the cards that are left over after you draft get placed. And you just got to beat their score and beat them to things. So kind of how that works. So that was neat. Ooh, I've reviewed a lot. I got another one. Order of the Gilded Compass. So this is a game. I believe this was Alia Akta S. I don't know the original version. But this is like a dice rolling tile, really set collection game. They're tiles, but it's a set collection game. And it plays kind of similar to Las Vegas, the dice rolling game. Players roll their dice on their turn, and then they can assign a set of dice to a different different board. And there's all sorts of boards, and it's very modular. There's like 11 different boards or something in the game, and you play with 4 or 5 each time. But essentially, the theme is you are going archaeological digging. You're looking for artifacts. And so you need to get a map, and you need to get a surveyor, and you need to get a contractor, and you need to go to the location, and you can look for other things, and you go to the library to research, and all these kind of different things that you're doing. But really, on a turn, you just roll your dice, and then you place a set. So this one needs all of a kind. This one needs a run. This one needs whatever. And you can beat out other players, so there's a little bit of a cutthroatness to that. And then you score, and you're trying to collect sets, and you get secret tiles and whatnot. So I played this with 4, and it was fun, but the set collection gets a little wonky, and it slows down a little bit, and certain things seem so much better than others. And at the end of the day, I really felt like I'd really just want to play Las Vegas, which is just roll and put your sets of numbers on a spot and take your chances with a little risk and be excited when everybody rolls. That person just rolled 3 threes. I can't believe it on 3 dice, and they beat me out. And, you know, it's frustrating. But that there's just a lot more, like, explosiveness. And this game felt like there was strategy underneath it. But at the end of the day, there was a lot of randomness going to it. Which makes sense for a dice-rolling game and a game where random tiles get flipped. But it kind of really played off of that. It wasn't our favorite in terms of all that. But I'd like to try it again with other modules and maybe with a different player count to see where it's at. But yeah, something like Roll for It or Las Vegas, which are much, much simpler. They're not trying to be what this game is. Just felt more exciting on that, like watching people roll. Like I wasn't as engaged in people's rolls in this. So overall, not one of my favorites, Order of the Gilded Compass. I'll probably give it another play, but that is that. Alright, so there's a whole bunch of reviews for you and so many more to come. It's awesome to talk to you again. But I'm going to send it over to Brian and Larry. They're going to give you some coverage of Gamma. They're just a couple nights they sat and talked about what they saw. So there's that.
Hey everyone, it's Brian
and Larry.
We just got into Reno for the Gamma Trade Show, so we figured we'd give you an update, serenade you with some of the music that was playing as we walked into our hotel room. So it was a long day of travel.
It was a lot of travel.
Enough time to play Keyflow at one of our stops, though, so one of the layovers. But I don't know, we don't have much to go over right now, but we figured we'd check in and start the convention off.
Yeah, I mean, the hotel's nice. It's big. There's a lot of digital displays and advertisements. It's, you know, size-wise, it won't compare to Gen Con, but
yeah,
overall first impression, it's pretty cool.
Everyone's, prepping, and it looks like they're all ready to go with everything gaming-related. So, I don't know. It's exciting. And we'll keep you up to date and let you know as stuff comes in. Anything else?
That's it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. What the freak? I hope I stopped it. Oh, I think it's recording.
You think? Oh, well then, what do you want? Hello, everyone!
Hey, it's Brian.
And Larry.
And we just finished up the last major day at Gamma Trade Fair. So I don't know. I know it's coming off of a lot of stuff. You should see what we've got in the hotel room.
We won Gamma.
we actually went out and bought another suitcase. Like a 5-pack of luggage so we can transport everything back to the shop. So, yeah. I don't know.
Some things to look forward to is we have new dice coming in, right? Some metallics and, yep. and things like that. We have some demo copies, Tiny Towns, some other games, some potential introductions of some new card games, you know, some demo copies of that. I'm just looking around. We have a lot of Dragon Shield sleeves. That's for sure. Oh, should we talk about the Keyforge stuff? That's kind of cool.
Sure. Yeah, you can go over it.
Me? All right. We have a dozen Keyforge decks customized for the Time Machine. So each one is a normal, unique Keyforge deck, but the name on the deck has Time Machine Connecticut built into the name some way. Spoiler, one of the decks we got was...
A Four Horsemen
deck, so we're going to be figuring out a cool way to offer that as prize support or some kind of event. Not sure how yet. What else do we have? We have a Lay, we have Funko Pop, we have a ton of... Oh, you know, Magic players, we got what, new table numbers for Magic tournaments, right? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, there's quite a bit. We're looking through, and I guess we should take some pictures and send them out there. But I know, like, for those of you who don't know, I mean, Gamma is a publisher and retailer convention and designer. So, like, it's really an industry an industry event where everyone kind of comes together. You know, for us, it started off with, you know, a bunch of, like, seminars, different retailers and such that were kind of presenting how they run their stores and what they've kind of seen work for them. So it did start off with, you know, a little bit more of that focus.
And the publishers, too, how we could partner with them to offer more, you know, organized play opportunities in the store, right, and things like that.
Yeah, like the first couple of days were only, like, we're focused more on retailers, and then it kind of switched over as the week went on. It switched from that side to, you know, publishers coming in, talking through all this stuff, kind of giving a highlight of what they were trying to do this year, and then leaving it open for us to ask questions and really, really network from that point on. Most of the nights also ended with an open, like a game night sort of event where, you know, a lot of the tables had, you know, new or upcoming games that were out for all the publishers to kind of run through, teach us, so we had a sense of what it was before we get it in the shop. So I know there were a few that really jumped out to us. I mean,
what would you say your biggest game you're excited for, Brian, coming back to the store, knowing that's coming out soon?
Yeah, no, I mean, there were a couple that were really high up there. Crown of Amara, I think that was one of my favorite ones from Pegasus. I'm hoping that'll come in sooner rather than later. Tiny Towns was great. Roll for Adventure was awesome from Thames and Cosmos. So there's a good smattering of stuff, you know, and that's not even hitting on the games that we didn't really dive into, you know. Right. I'm trying to think what else was a major thing that hopped out. I mean, all the other, like, you know, Renegade has some really good stuff coming up. Yellow, Asmodee has, you know, they have a ton of new games that are going
to
be
coming out. Star Wars Outer Rim game, I think, is going to be a real, you know, fan favorite.
Yeah.
Get to play, excuse me, on the Outer Rim of Star Wars, where you could be a bounty hunter, a smuggler, you know, and really, you know, do that piece. And it's the first, according to Fantasy Flight, the first Star Wars adventure-style game, right? Not in the line with some of the other Star Wars games that have come out. So that's real exciting. On the storefront, too, I mean, we're talking about getting some potential play mats in that are personalized for our store, so that, you know, the gaming space, you know, starts to have that feel. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff, a lot of great ideas, some cool card games, you know, Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, Yu-Gi-Oh!, Med-X, for DC. Yeah, just a lot of different things for people to try out and see, you know, see what they like, so we could decide if, you know, it's something we can carry and support people with.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's getting us ready for the year, you know, giving us a starting point for, you know, just hoping to give us a little bit more focus. Because, you know, there are so many games coming out these days that, you know, we struggle just trying to figure out what the right mix is, you know, and just having a little bit more of an understanding of everything ahead of time gives us a stronger position to start.
Yeah.
And if we can do something, if we can promote stuff a little bit better for everyone else, like that only helps. If we know what we're talking about, then it goes over to you, and, you know, and all the customers kind of get something that, you know, that actually has been explained and hopefully explained to the point where they know what they're getting themselves into.
Right.
You know, because at each point in the process, like wherever something's being sold to another person, you know, that the previous person kind of hopes that it's going to lead to something longer lasting. You know, from whatever, from all the way from the publisher on down to the final customer, which would be you guys, right? So we want to find the right mix that that works for that whole cycle. You know, and it's fun.
Yeah.
We enjoy playing games, so we just want to have something that we want to talk about and kind of build the community that we have.
Right. And I got to tell you, I'm really excited for Tiny Towns. Like, I wasn't like Tiny Towns, AEG, whatever. Like, maybe it's a cool little game. But after playing it and the way it's set up and what it offers, I'm real excited. So, you know, if you're hearing this, you know, when you come to the store, ask for a demo of Tiny Towns, because I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how good the game is, as well as it lends itself to play. I mean, the way they tell you, it can play an unlimited amount. I mean, really, you could fill a bingo hall with 200 people and play one game of Tiny Towns. So, it's, you know, I'm excited to see what we could do with the store, you know, event-wise, to get people, you know, excited about Tiny Towns. And I think we're getting a pretty good stock level in, so it'll be available, so we don't run out of stock or have inventory issues. So check it out. Come demo it. Ask someone to see it. I think people are going to like it. I think it was my favorite of the show as far as games that I played that I know the store can get in the next, you know, few months.
Yeah, no, it was great. And you, I guess being on the a little bit more on the inside of things, like I was hearing a lot of talk about it, and there were a lot of promotions and stuff out there ahead of time, and it felt like one of the games that was getting a lot of attention, like throughout that whole process, you know, because like I said, with so many games coming out, it's tough for something to really be be brought to our attention as like a very special thing that's coming up. And I think the way that AEG was putting it out there and promoting it, like they knew that they had something great on their hands, and it's kind of getting to each step and convincing each person that it is what they think it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it does feel great. It's a really neat puzzle, and I think a lot of games that have been coming out have been playing in that realm. You know, I guess I'm thinking a lot of the like Tetris-y sort of, you know, games, like a patchwork type of system, and it had aspects of that, but it was very unique in its own way too.
And, you know, different scoring, different buildings, each game allows for a lot of replayability. And then of course the order in which you get cubes, which are the materials to build the buildings. It's really neat. I'm looking forward to getting it in the store and playing it. So, you know, with that, we're going to figure out how to pack all this stuff and get it back on the plane to get it back to the store.
Yeah, you think that'll be interesting.
That's an adventure in and of itself.
So,
I'd say we actually are going home with easily 5 times more stuff than we came with. When you look at the, you know, we came with clothes.
And we still have all those. So
that's we might be wearing layers of clothes. <Right. laughs> But no, it was a lot of fun. It was definitely different than anything I think we've done in the past with Gen Con and PAX and Dice Tower and stuff like that. So this was, you know, more focused for the store, you know, and I think it was really neat. I think we got a lot out of it. So hopefully that'll translate for our customers.
Yeah. So I know we'll kind of pack everything up, and I'm sure once we get back, when we have to unpack it all, we're going to have another, like, a full recap of it. So once we kind of gather our thoughts. Yeah. But I know we just wanted to kind of go over that, give a brief overview of how everything's coming along. And yeah, I know we'll probably be looking forward to doing another full episode soon. You know, probably with Brandon in the mix to kind of, because I'm sure he'll be better at asking us questions that,
right,
you know, that other people might want to know. So
perfect.
All right. Well, thank you.
Signing off.
All right. Bye.
All right, everybody, there's episode 117, Everything Depends on It. This episode has come to a close here. So on behalf of Larry and Brian, I am the Brant, and I hope until next time you step into the portal.